No, we
with this poor form now.
With this poor form, you think you better match your keeper?
It's your boy Shea Wolo. And you're listening to
Bald Gecko Podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Bald Gecko Podcast. I'm Mayive, aka Mayowa. And in the house I have
Naz, aka Big C.
And Ayola Kelechi, as always.
Why you are forming the chill guy?
No, I mean, he's
this is known, like everybody knows this.
He's a weird guy with the Yoruba and Igbo name.
That you guys are noisemakers.
We're not noisemakers. I'm actually the one with the chilled voice here. But Elizabeth is more emotional and passionate about what I'm doing.
Passionate.
Why you shout?
It's not noise.
I did not say you should not be passionate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it comes with noise.
My own is not noise. Don't worry. I know it's not noise.
I understand where it's coming from. Baka fans don't have any reason to.
Yeah. To talk about anything.
It's not every team that has won a trophy this season. So I mean, where's your women's team? Is your women's team even in Champions League? What's your women's?
Is it women's you are bragging about these days?
Why not? Are they not part of the club? I don't know about the club.
The bar is so low. The bar is so low.
We are talking about conversations now.
It's well for you come and telling me that. Oh, yes. Baka Femini. Baka Femini won 7-0 yesterday, so therefore.
Okay, tell me why not.
Shift, please.
Tell me why not now.
Maeve, you understand that you can't shame the shameless. And this man is being shameful on the Monday morning.
Tell me why not.
Yeah. Women rights, women.
Yes, I mean, yes, exactly.
Baka is the best women to the world.
But on a very good day, we are going to talk about football and you're not going to tell me Baka Femini.
Why not?
That's not true. This is not the first time I'm mentioning them on the podcast, and this is not the first time we're talking about football. Hold on, this is not the first time we're talking about trophies. Yes, and then you're not saying Femini.
Femini won the trophy again. Why not?
Moving on.
There's no answer.
Hold on. See, we're not going to get into it there's no need to get into it in the first place. Wow. Like you should just be ashamed of yourself. But the fact
I just hope your female team start doing better.
No, I mean, I've become semi-final. I'm facing Chelsea.
You're going to lose. I hope you know.
I'm there.
Okay.
I'm there. You don't get.
Lost. All right. All right.
But I'm there. You asked for my team and I told you where they are. So
yeah, I mean, what about in the league? In the Champions League.
I don't think I'm in Champions
League. Yes, I've never played the Champions League.
You just formed the team 2 years ago now.
I
use only one season in Championship and I'm already in Premier League and you're still hating on me.
Because you have the money, come on.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's still going to take time. Man City, with all their money, it took time for them to get where they are. So, relax. Take it easy, bruh. Yes, moving on.
So, how long are we giving them?
This guy wants to hold on to a conversation that doesn't have any head.
Sorry, what's the reason why we can't discuss female football on the podcast?
Jesus. What is this man doing, Abe?
Is he not part of the European
round? Okay, you guys won. Congratulations.
Yes, I mean 7-0. Who scored?
I heard
Mertens Beep scored hat trick, Abe.
Mertens scored. No, Graham Hansen scored a hat trick.
Okay.
Mertens scored as well. Okay. Ofo scored as well. Aziza didn't get on the score sheet, unfortunately.
Then
a trophy is a trophy.
Then now Nigerian Beep in Atletico chop 7 with them.
It happens now.
I mean,
did you see that number 7 in Atletico? If there's anything, I saw that picture.
No, that's Aston Villa. That's
my shame. Favorite female team, man.
The worst thing to talk about
to see
in female
that
football.
Aston Villa.
Anyway, moving
I'm
on.
I'm not. I did not. I
Aston
only corrected.
Villa,
please.
Number 7.
Is
guys,
the best number 7 in the
Google.
World.
Go to Google. Aston Villa number 7. I don't even know her name. I'm
shame.
A fan.
Why would you know her name? Yeah. You are looking at her name.
So much.
I got a back, man. That's
for everyone.
I got Aston Villa's back.
The second-hand embarrassment is eating me up.
Men are bones.
Anyways, over the weekend we saw Arsenal draw. United fans suddenly forgot that game in hand is something. I mean, wow. some weeks ago it was all we have two games in hand.
I saw it. Nice one. Go on.
Some weeks ago it was all we have two games in hand. Mm-hmm. We're going to be there. Mm-hmm, etc. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now that you guys are fourth with two games over Tottenham, mm-hmm. you've suddenly forgotten that there's something like game in hand.
I mean, it is what it is.
What is it?
You get the thing about the game in hand thing is, I mean, it's still not points guaranteed on the table. So
really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
This is very rich.
You get from a United.
Relax.
This is news.
It is still not points guaranteed. So
okay.
Relax now.
Of course.
Make I land.
Nobody's running around.
So guess what? The fact that they have game in hand is not a guarantee that they are going to win. And it's not like the opposition are just going to look at them rule over for them.
So there is
also the chance that they can also have all those games and lose all of them.
Okay.
I mean, let's start from Tottenham. Tottenham have two games, and to be fair, with their performance against Chelsea over the weekend,
with just a draw, West Ham will be tied with you guys.
Congratulations to West Ham.
No,
just a draw.
Yeah.
No, I think I'm
for West Ham.
Yes. Yeah,
just 1 point. Ahead
just
of
a
them.
Win, Tottenham will be ahead of. You guys.
First of all, West Ham. I think I have better good defense than them.
No, funny enough.
Oh shit.
They have better than you. 41 goals for you, 36.
Conceded.
No, four. Scored.
They have, against is 31, you 30. Oh, wow. So they have better goal difference.
So if they have a draw, that's if, a big if, and they lost their last two games. They lost to West Ham, they lost to Leeds at home, and they lost to me in my house. So I mean, they're already on a losing form, or a losing streak. If hopefully they can carry that on, there'll be something, they'll be something I don't have to worry about in the near future. Arsenal, they are also looking like they are going through a blip. They have not won any game in 2022 yet. They drew against Burnley at the Emirates Stadium, 0-0. Good results for me as well. Tottenham losing to Chelsea, like I said, also a good result for me. Although Tottenham have like a lot of games that they can use to make up that difference, but
yeah, they play Brighton, yeah, then they play Southampton.
Southampton 2 points off Man City, and that's a positive for me. I'm about to paint this weekend as a positive weekend for Manchester United fans. So look at it. Okay. First of all, I saw the Southampton Man City game.
What's the name of that popular painter? Picasso.
Thank you very
paint
much.
Paint it.
Yes, that's your business. So basically, I saw the Southampton Man City game 1-1, and in my heart, as a Man United fan, I was happy. Oh, Man City drop points. But then I look at it, I'm like, why am I even happy? Like, who should be celebrating if Man City drop points? None of us. There's no need for anybody in the league to be celebrating, because why are you celebrating for? You are not close to them in any way, but except Liverpool fans, and it's still 9 points. And to be fair, 9 points gap between Man City and any team is enough for Man City to win the league at any point of the season.
Don't look at life through
my own lenses.
No, don't judge other people.
I am saying the fact.
19 relax. So
I am saying the
you
fact.
Feel guilty.
I am saying the fact here that if you are 5 points behind Man City and 9 points, there's no difference, because Man City is not going to give you that chance to overtake them. Okay. Yes, exactly. We've talked about them.
Nobody
being
wants to
enough.
Give anybody any.
Yes, I mean, Man can be 11 points ahead of you and you can still overtake them, because Man did not get sense. But Man City, please, it's not going to happen. It's better you don't give them that chance.
Ball, really, anything can still happen. Like I always say, definitely, it would be a rare occurrence.
Yeah, for anybody to overtake Man City, yes.
Very rare. Yes. Very, very. But
I mean,
anything is possible.
We can go to Spain for some, you know, there was also exciting football played over the weekend. Yeah, there was Atletico Madrid.
Comeback.
Yeah, Atletico, they've started their haram football.
Me, again, I'm going to speak from the mindset point of view. And to be fair, I was actually happy with their very patchy form recently. Them with their losses here and there, Sociedad losing, and I saw the game against Valencia 2-0 up, and I was like, ah, nice one, like continue, let me play in Champions League and beat them, maybe we can now come back. But sadly, somehow they came back in that 90 minutes, and it was very awkward. Very well
said. Those guys even used them, their youth squad. Or
it's
something.
Not even awkward at this point for Atletico Madrid
to come back 90
goals in extra time.
It felt like that Leicester City Tottenham game.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. That was worse. No, that was much worse. Ah, no, fam. That was much worse.
Oh, so is it based on performance or the scoreline? Because I mean, scoreline was and the story about the match.
I mean, like the timing of everything, because it was 30 seconds left.
For Tottenham and Leicester?
Yeah, it was 30. It was,
can you imagine?
Tottenham equalized.
No, it was 97.
No, it was 90, 93. No, 90 plus 3.
Yeah,
yes.
90 plus 1 and 90 plus 3 that Atletico scored. But Tottenham was 90 plus 5. In 5 minutes of extra time, and then from the kickoff they scored again, and I'm like,
Mawa,
are you guys even a serious club?
Well, this thing's happened.
They also they drop points again. I mean, Leicester drop points. They drew 1-1 to Brighton. Welbeck equalizer, beautiful.
Still again shocked that Brendan Rodgers is still in a job at Leicester. I don't understand.
No, see,
how it's
so
happening.
You see someone like Brendan Rodgers. I see what he's doing at Leicester, and at some point, I don't think it's his problem for dropping all these points the way in the manner as which they are dropping. I don't think it's a manager's problem. He's looking like a concentration. 100%. He's looking like a concentration problem, because why would a team have 10 seconds left and then they suddenly drop two? They're literally leading 2-1.
Yeah, they're winning the game.
They're winning 2-1, and they somehow connive and find themselves on the losing side at the end of 30 seconds. Football. 30 seconds. No. What kind of manager do you think can actually change that 30 seconds and do something better?
Anything can happen in this football.
Exactly, which is why I wouldn't blame Leicester for dropping
but
this point.
But
in the manner,
these things are extreme, and it's almost as if it's always Leicester.
Yes, exactly. That's the Rogers.
And
factor.
If you look at from even two seasons ago, the way that they dropped out of top four race,
top three basically. Yeah. I mean, I was 11 points behind them, and we talked about overtaking teams with points ahead of you, and then somehow.
Even same thing with Chelsea last season.
Yes,
they were struggling to catch up to them, and eventually they did catch up to them, and now it's happening. It's gone from a season by season basis
to now
match by match.
90 per 90 minutes.
You get.
It's crazy, man.
So, man, I don't
know. Yes, but Valencia channeled in their inner Leicester City, and then they did what they did to Atletico. Atletico did what they did to Valencia. So, exciting football in Spain.
It's really what they always do.
And Madrid.
Yeah, the other Madrid. Sorry, no, the main Madrid. I don't know. Who do I call them, the other Madrid or the main Madrid? Because we're talking of two Madrid teams right now.
They're the main Madrid.
Yeah, the one.
But we spoke about Atletico first.
Yeah,
Real Madrid.
So, guess what? We'll call Real Madrid the other Madrid today. Just for today.
No.
Today.
We'll call the one that has 13 champions.
To be fair, they always call Atletico the other Madrid team.
Yeah, because one Madrid team has 13 Champions Leagues.
But who are the current champions?
What do you mean? The other has none.
True. True.
I'm talking about the current
La Liga is Atletico.
Atletico. So there's no other, man. Your next battle is your greatest victory. I'll be happy to do this.
Mad.
What?
My has decided to drive bars for us. He has decided to drop bars for us on this Monday, on this very beautiful Monday morning.
I mean, last season they were strong. So, man, you can't say one person is main, the other person is not main. They are both in their own world, man. Shout out to
historically, they clearly won.
To be fair, yeah.
Both of them.
You're saying last season, like last season is not history. Everything is history.
But guess what? Both of them actually came through with nice comebacks. Only one was able to get the 3 points because Real Madrid was actually very funny as they were losing at home. Okay, no, Atletico was also losing at home. Now, wow, all these guys, what's happening in Spain, please? Is there like home problems?
This weekend, I don't think Madrid have dropped points in recent
Real Madrid, Atleti, Sevilla also dropped points as well. So maybe it's just one of those weekends that things happen that you're not expecting.
In England, almost everybody won, apart from Man City that usually wins. So
beautiful result to me again. Life. Beautiful result to me, but
wait,
I'm getting somewhere. Beautiful result to me, but how much?
19 points ahead of you.
Going to Italy. There was also another comeback in Italy with the defending champions Inter Milan. He came back from a go down to defeat, I think, Venezia. At the San Siro, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I mean, that it was, you know, he was looking...
That like must have made Lukaku very happy.
Lukaku will be fine where he is, though.
You just had to say that.
Sorry, is it Lukaku or Lakaka?
Or anyone.
Lukaku.
You know which one
Kalakuluni.
But yes, that was another nice call. But then, the big match of the weekend in all of Europe turned out to be the dud.
I don't think it was a dud. I mean, a lot of people look at 0-0 scorelines and they say, "Oh, this match was bad. This match wasn't boring."
My guy. See, I'll never at the end of a game see a 0-0 scoreline and go and check YouTube for the highlights. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, that's what you're about. You're about highlights. You're about the goals, the main moments. But that's not the entirety of the match.
Agreed.
The actual match was actually very interesting.
As long as there's no goal, there's nothing interesting.
So
what are you watching?
That's a lie.
So what did you watch?
So you're telling me that in all of football, the only moment that is interesting to you is those 30 seconds where someone scores a goal?
I've seen a new scoreline between Porto, Sporting Lisbon, and this match. Almost 5-4-7 reach the
level of excitement,
the action, and in this game. A 5-4 game was not up to this 0-0 that Sporting Lisbon and Porto played in that day. It was crazy. So I mean,
bro, there was no result.
Exactly. So, but look, me on this side now, it's not like I am all of that interested in this game. So, seeing those goals would have made me say, okay, yes, let me see what happened and check more about the game. But I mean, like, I didn't even look at the game. I swiped a new notification from my phone. I swiped stuff like...
Yeah, because, I mean, like you said, you were already not interested in the game. So,
I'm interested based on the level of the teams that are playing.
But you didn't see it.
Literally, you know, the two of them are challengers in Italy at the moment.
Nah, Juventus is not. It's like saying United is challenging for
title. No, hold on. The reason why I would say Juventus is there because Juventus are always there in the picture.
11 points behind.
Juventus have done that in Italy before.
11 points behind.
They have done that before.
Almost impossible.
And it's on Allegri. No, see, before the whole break about Allegri leaving them and this thing, the pre-Pirlo era of Allegri can't overtake 11 points.
Easy. That's why they always try to be, on top of the table.
Yes, before. I've seen it actually take... There was this Napoli were there for...
It wasn't 11 points. Yeah,
exactly.
That's the thing. Napoli were on top of the table for a very long time, but the gap wasn't much. So once Napoli dropped 2 games in a row,
and then I think even Juventus beat them 3-2 that season.
Yeah.
Well, congrats to Inter Milan for
the
comeback.
So, we're not going to talk about Roma and Tammy Abraham.
He scored 2 goals in their 4-2 win.
Outscoring every single Chelsea forward this season.
Outscoring every English forward. Relax. If you want to throw your shots, I see where you're going. Chelsea don't appreciate him.
There was an episode where Marwa talked about Chelsea loaning out players.
Okay.
And the player that they loan out ends up scoring more than the forwards that they have.
Nawa.
Funny enough, it always happens. I said it the other time.
Are you serious, bro?
So, but we thought Lukaku is going to come and...
97 million.
Sorry. Apparently...
97 million say he doesn't want to play again.
Lukaku is looking. 97 million say he doesn't want to play again. Lukaku later this week. and then during the Man U Chelsea podcast with Naz.
But I mean, are we going to say that this is generally Lukaku's fault, because we've seen Tammy Abraham in Chelsea as well.
Yeah, he wasn't so bad.
He scored.
Not, yes. He wasn't
at least scored
great.
More than Lukaku.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Yeah,
great,
obviously
he
scored more than Lukaku.
Yeah, he wasn't great, but at the same time, he wasn't played as a forward,
not as a holding player to bring people into the game.
Do you think
Lukaku is no longer playing?
I'm sorry, but who do you think will play a holding role better, Lukaku or Tammy Abraham?
Tammy Abraham has no strength.
He can't. He can't play well, Lukaku.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How many people can play how Lukaku is playing? It's not many strikers can do that. That's his specialty, kind of playing with his back to goal. He has always been good at that, but he had to learn other ones too.
You know, Lukaku is also a pacey player. I mean, he can play behind the lines as you know, running behind. So that's also a weapon in his arsenal. So yeah.
But it was nice to see Hakim Ziyech score this week.
Yeah, yeah. Very beautiful.
Magic.
A very beautiful parallel. That was the one he used to call it.
That we are used to saying.
This is Zeke I was afraid of, and I see.
These are the goals.
Like you said, you said something about when he gets into form, gets injured.
Yes, like I was
kind of wish that.
This
for
is like
him.
The third time Loki. That he's getting into form. There was a time that he had 2 goals and 3 assists too, and then he went on the injury.
So are we expecting an injury soon?
Definitely.
In Jesus' name,
by God's grace, no injury.
Soaking his leg in water.
Omo. Well, what did you do about
Emmanuel? It was brilliant.
Okay, so guys, what do you think about Emmanuel Dennis's Watford over the weekend on Friday?
I mean, it was,
everybody expected a lot. I saw
people triple captained him
on FPL.
Double game week.
He's
playing Watford and I think
Norwich.
He's playing Norwich and I think Brentford as well.
So they're expecting something from him. Only points get red card
in the first game.
So beautiful. It's not even beautiful. It's beautiful because I mean,
we're laughing, but the people that were laughing at him are no longer in the tournament that they're playing. So
now what for them?
You have to say, is that funny? Is that supposed to be funny?
No, I'm just saying, like, you guys.
I mean, it depends on how you look at it. But, you know,
it's like when you're throwing poto poto on your enemy, and you don't know that some of it has touched you.
Touch you. Oh,
that's not funny. Please, next.
Okay. Another very interesting scoreline was the Newcastle winning away at Leeds United. I mean, how many of us expected that? Personally, I thought it was going to be a matchup between Rafinha and Maximin, but it was Jonjo Shelvey that decided that game.
I think Leeds are in a lot more trouble than people realize or than we realize, because...
Do you think they're in as much trouble as Everton, though?
No. I mean, if you look at the bottom five, there are some teams that are just coasting there and people don't really realize that, hold on, these guys don't really belong here. Leeds don't belong here. Everton don't belong
Newcastle
here.
Newcastle shouldn't belong there.
Well, it's iffy, but...
In recent seasons,
we shouldn't be too surprised to see Newcastle where they are.
To be fair, they've been in
about
team now.
Newcastle right now, they are talking about putting up a bid for your Chelsea Man U guy.
Lingard.
Newcastle are going to be a different team after this transfer window. So
if they haven't started doing the things that we expect them to do during the transfer window, then I'm not sure how
they
much.
They have now. They already have signed.
They've signed Chris Wood.
$25 million. That was to be not justifiable.
No, I think it is. I mean,
$25 million.
Yeah, in this.
$25 million is Chris Wood is 31.
Yeah, and he's also scored 40 goals in the last 4 seasons.
40.
Yeah, he's got 10 goals.
Wait, hold on. Say it again. 40 goals in
the last 4 seasons.
That's 10 goals per season.
Yeah, 10 goals per season.
25 million.
That's not poor.
25 million.
How has Lacazette done it?
Do you understand that you're not talking about a youngster? You're talking about a 31-year-old striker.
Yeah,
right now.
That they need for just one season or half a season.
25 million.
Yes.
They have the money.
Chimo.
They have the money.
People have signed worse for more.
Actually,
like much worse for much more.
Okay, yeah, I don't. There's no need to throw any shots. Just
and they're
let's,
and
let's
they're, they're buying him from Burnley as well.
Okay, yeah, actual rival. But
do you get?
I didn't see the need for buying a striker like.
They don't have a forward at the moment. Callum Wilson is out for the season. Joel
Linton
so why not? Joel Linton is not.
He's not a serious. No, he's not a CM. They play him at CM.
That's why they are playing him at CM, because he's not a serious footballer.
Spend $40 million on a striker to start playing him at the CM.
You get they signed Joel Linton for $40 million, and you're talking about $25 million for Chris Wood.
He's not 31 years old.
It doesn't mean.
He's not 31 years old.
Doesn't mean.
It does.
I don't understand what this man is saying.
It really doesn't.
He's not 31 years old.
It doesn't mean.
Okay. Well, Barca spent how much on Griezmann?
I don't want us to go there. Stop. We're all in this conversation
that
about
was,
spending
that was,
a lot of money.
It was great. I mean, some people spent $71 million on a goalkeeper and couldn't use him after the next season.
He's young.
So
he's young.
He replaced him the very next. You can't sell him for anything more than 20.
It's not as useless as Griezmann, bro.
No, we're getting
have this conversation. Is all of us. You see this thing about Griezmann touching each other. Let us not go there.
If it comes out, people will flop.
We're doing wicked round up.
We're still talking about Lacazette till tomorrow.
My guys, Arsenal drew 0-0. Arsenal drew 0-0 with Lacazette's open miss. Jesus.
Griezmann and Coutinho to Lukaku.
Ah.
There's also the Dembele front add in the mix, but let's not go. Let's see. I don't just point fingers. Let's not point fingers.
Players are bound.
Let's not point fingers. Liverpool had a good result
already because of the money they spent.
Liverpool had a good result.
Worse, bro.
Jesus. So Liverpool had a good result. I mean, we are fringe
they
players.
They struggled to have.
I
would
say it was not struggle.
Their goalkeeper was.
Yeah, he's
part of the team.
Still doesn't mean it's a struggle. I mean,
okay.
Obviously, to be fair, Crystal Palace, they are paying them salary. You do expect them to just roll over. To be very fair.
And they were playing at home as well.
Good. And they also have quality players. Olise, Edward, the goal scorer. Edward had like 3 good shots at Alisson.
So why did I say they struggled to win?
Just because.
I've seen Man City win and then they win outrightly. They are chasing Man City. So I expect a certain quality of football. But it's understandable.
At the end of the day, they don't have Keita,
they have Salah, they don't have money.
Yeah, a lot of their first team players are not. They are core first team.
So respect to them.
3 points is 3 points.
Going to the top, there will be matches that you script to win. Just
exactly.
3-1 was not scripting though.
Okay. I think the scoreline does not reflect the quality of the game.
Well, I mean, I saw.
I think that was a penalty, no?
Yeah, indeed, that was the third
goal.
That's
part of football.
Yeah. That's what I said. So 3-1 sounds like. Oh, they outplayed these guys, but
Crystal Palace actually give a good account for themselves, so yeah, we're not going to take that away from them. Another nice match I went over this weekend was the Napoli Salernitana game, 4-1 to Napoli. I think that was Insigne matching Maradona's goal record in Italy as well.
Every time I see Insigne play, all I can think about is that this guy is going to be playing for Toronto FC for the next 5.5 years.
Oh, he's going to stay for 5 years.
But that's the contract he signed.
Yeah,
so
exactly. It's weird.
And you think he's 29, so why? But
why is there no European big team going for him, right?
I don't think it's that there was no team going for him. I think it's that he just wanted to. He just wanted to go to Toronto FC.
He will have his reasons why, but the beauty is that he will go there and he will be a legend.
I can count a few million reasons why.
No, really, if it's really about the money, I would expect him to go to maybe China or something.
What? It's literally the same thing.
Yeah, to be fair, because competition there is still not. I don't think Italy will be looking to pick
players who play in
America or China for their national team when they want to win something actually. So,
and considering that this is a World Cup year as well,
to be fair, it's a very strange
such an odd decision, odd deal, and to even announce it at this time of the season as well.
It was this whole deal just.
I'm still believing it's like an April Fool's joke, and they're going to be like,
in January,
we're joking, man.
It still goes back to what we're saying that money is kind of. Scattering the old game, but it is what it is.
Money has scattered the game a long time ago.
It is what it is.
And then there was Sergio Ramos, his first goal for PSG, and he's here saying something about he wants to see more, he wants to score more. He talk like that.
He has always scored everywhere he went.
But I mean,
that's the kind of player.
But he came to PSG as I won't call him a pensioner, but a hospital bill basically because he's been in and out of hospital. He has been in the hospital more than he has been on the training pitch.
Well, now he's on the pitch and he's on the pitch doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Congratulations to him. How long do you think that's going to last?
Oh, as long as he's fit.
I think he's looking like an injury prone player just by record of this season alone. I'm not going trust his career.
Well, I think even last season as well, but
yeah, he was injured a lot of times.
You'd kind of expect it seeing as he's getting old, age.
Yeah.
But I think once he's fully recovered, it's good that they didn't try to rush him back or anything. So
they tried.
They tried to terminate his contract now.
Yes, now they did.
Because he was injured for a long time.
Exactly.
He was injured for a longer time than they expected.
It was more about a comeback and go back to injury. Come back, he's fit now, and next thing he's injured again. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, when you're giving that
I just hope
vibe,
he doesn't get injured again, because the moment he does, then we will know. Because most times, especially this period, once with the level that technology and medicine is, once a player is getting to the end of their career, you already know that they are doing some trainings to elongate their career. So most times, the ones that start having injuries, like the way Hazard started, like the way who else has had injury in this old age? I think Hazard is the only popular left.
Ribery.
Fair.
As well, started getting injured when he started getting older as well.
So, I feel if he does get another injury, we already know this guy is a gangster. if he's not playing football, he'll probably be in UFC or something.
This profiling at his highest.
What I mean is that he's a fighter. He's somebody that will always struggle to get back on the pitch.
Okay.
But I just feel if the injury gets too much, he'll probably just retire. And their losses are again.
Then it's good that he didn't sign a very long contract then.
So then, that means
sad for them because they are already paying the salary. But it's PSG. Money is nothing to them.
Basically, do you think this was a good weekend in European football then? Like with the mixed, I would say mixed results. Or was it mixed though?
Yeah, it was mixed.
Nice performances, very good, very, very interesting comebacks. I mean, there was
quality goals as well.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Hi, my name is Ilozinam, and you're listening to the Ball Gecko Podcast.
All right, guys, moving on to the AFCON segment of the Ball Gecko Podcast, made brighter by MTN. And Naz wants to lament because of the Super Eagles.
But you know that's not true. In your heart of hearts.
So you're fine with it. You don't mind.
I did not lose 1 second of sleep over Nigeria.
Did you watch that match?
I mean, I told you after the record I left.
Imagine.
Yes, now what am I? No, hold on. First of all, what were they playing before?
See,
the
what team matters to you, Nigeria or Manchester United?
Oh, man, you.
What team matters to you? What team comes first? To pick in between Nigeria winning, maybe the Nations Cup, and then you guys winning the league. Which, if they asked you to pick, which would you pick?
I mean, we win the league every other year, so probably pick Nigeria to win the Nations Cup.
Exactly. But look at this.
How many Nigeria matches
do you get to watch?
Oh.
And because of a red card, you went to Ghana.
Guess what? I have one to see. Nigeria will be very fine. Nigeria disappointed me so much that I know that, you know what, you will be fine. I cannot use Nigeria and pull headache and say, oh, Nigeria is doing this and Nigeria is doing that. No, don't worry, whatever people do, you're fine.
Why some of us had headache, some of us could not sit down and watch match. We're standing.
I'm kicking
the ball with them. I almost kicked somebody.
I'm here still getting some kind of jabs on behalf of Maduka Okoye. Sadly, I don't know.
What concerns you on Maduka? Okay.
No, that's a concern, but I'm just here receiving that. There's just some jabs thrown at him that, oh, Maduka is this, is that. He's not like, I mean, he's almost as fault for the loss. And I'm like, no, he's a goalkeeper.
It's everybody, but he had a hand in it because if your defense fails you, that's where it
you step up and everything. But,
and then it was evident that guy was going to shoot, so I don't understand.
But
how
like, I think first of all, it was a long range shot and then there was the penalty in front of him.
It wasn't just the long range shot, it was the way the ball was. I mean,
it bounced.
The ball. Exactly. When the ball bounces and deviates away from you, it causes a lot of problems.
I said that from a goalkeeper's point of view.
You know what's funny here?
If he saves, it's a magnificent save.
Do you know what's funny here? We're going to see this goal again in the Premier League. We're going to see this goal again in the Champions League.
Yes, exactly. Long range shots that will bounce right in front of the keeper.
It just changes everything.
It changes everything.
You're already set for something and then something else changes the direction of the ball.
You know why that guy made a mistake? He did not go for that ball immediately.
No, because
he's 6'6". It's quite understandable that he cannot hit the ground immediately.
How tall is Van der Sar?
Did you see? Did you know that Maduka went a little bit to the right before he decided to go to
the because that's where the ball was going before it moved.
The ball moved.
That's what I'm saying.
The ball moved.
Was it a placing?
No, it was a direction.
You know that ball was not very far from the center.
Yes, I agree. That's not the point. The point is not that it wasn't far from the center. The point is that the ball moved.
A ball like that, he's supposed to parry it well. I've seen it several times happen. Several.
Maybe we are
expecting too much from him. But he's not a world-class goalkeeper. We all know that. I agree.
But I explained to you why. That goal is not entirely his
fault.
You
said because he hits the floor. No,
the ball hits the floor.
He changes the floor. Look at the way he sets himself.
That ball did not hit anybody now.
Not anybody.
The floor, he bounces on the floor. Oh, the ball touches.
Goodness gracious.
See, hold on. The ball touches the floor and it doesn't go the same way. It's going exactly from the guy's foot.
Now, do you remember Messi's goal against United in the Champions League final?
The long shot.
Yeah, the one from outside the box.
Yes.
Do you remember how similar it was to this goal Van der Sar was already setting up.
Yes,
I
was already going like this.
And then the ball moved the other way and then bounced away from Van der Sar. Van der Sar is 6'6 or 6'7.
He's not a magician.
He was one of the best goalkeepers in the world at the time.
He's not going to do anything different.
All good and fine. I'm not saying it was his fault that we lost that game because one,
you could also blame Iwobi.
He could have saved the ball. We could also blame Ndidi. It took out Ndidi. We could also blame.
He took out Ndidi.
Yes, now before he took the shot.
Yeah, the guy dribbled.
Okay. Hold on. I was saying
they dribbled Ndidi like Fred.
I was just like.
It was not only that. Mistimed the tackle.
No,
he was not supposed to run like that. He could have given him space.
He gave me too much space. No. You know, hold on. You know,
the counter.
Chew. The guy got the ball behind Olaino.
Olaino.
Yes, I mean he's already goal side.
So Olaino wanted to pressure him to make a mistake.
Yes.
That Olaino is brilliant. It's like the best technical player that we have in the Super Eagles.
Basically, Olaino putting that pressure for him behind is what made him come back.
Yes,
Olaino,
that guy is
Olaino fell back and gave him too much space.
No, he that's what Olaino would do. Olaino lost that ball. He could have lost the player, so he had to come back.
But guess what? He's Olaino's man at that point. There's nobody close to him. Olaino was one of
Olaino saw Ndidi coming and then he left him to block him from kicking the ball. At that point, he has blocked where Maduka Okoye was protecting.
I lie. Olaino went back to the right
position. The right position.
Yes, exactly.
Meaning he has blocked the right side of the post. But so Olaino, where was his...
He went back to the right position.
There were two defenders still standing in front of him.
Yes, Omeru and
then he took out
Ekong.
Ndidi.
He cleared him.
So we could have blamed Ndidi.
When you were saying took out, I thought it was the governor.
We could have blamed these other guys too because their leg was very close.
You can't blame Ndidi. They dribble person now. I mean, they dribble.
See, as far as I'm concerned, the players were not really to blame that much. If there's anybody that I will point a finger at is Austin Eguavoen.
No, Chukwueze.
No.
Yes, this is interesting because...
Why? Why will I blame Eguavoen for this game?
Sorry, hold on. This is interesting because the other time when we were talking about the group stages and you said he should have the job on a permanent basis, I remember... I then asked that, okay, what happens if we now lose this, our next match? It's our forthcoming round of 16 match.
I said we'll fire him now. This is
Nigeria.
What did I say?
No, you said we'll not lose that. It's not possible.
Yes, now, because we thought it was not possible. No. So, what's that? Everybody says that.
Okay, carry on. So, now you want us to fire him?
I'm not saying they should fire him. I said it was his fault that we lost. We're saying they should fire him. Okay. They're not firing him. He's leaving the post already. Now, where did Eguavoen make a mistake? We could have attacked these guys from the get-go. And did you watch that match very well?
Can I see
with
something?
With one man down, yes, when we were attacking them, they could not even do anything.
Do you actually believe Eguavoen did not tell them to attack, or the players did not just attack?
He told them not to attack.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Is that
it actually looked more like
we're conservative.
It actually looked more like we didn't know what to do with the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Not necessarily that we'd know what to attack.
So that means there was no clear instruction.
No, let me.
You know, you can attack. You can go all out.
I have. I have.
You can control the game. We're controlling that game.
So yeah, here is the thing. You're looking at all of this from Nigeria point of view. I looked at that game and I saw what Tunisia came to the game with. They had only 3 players attacking. Anytime they were attacking, they had just 3. So out of 11 players, out of 10 outfield players, only 3 are attacking. 7 are sitting behind. Whatever Nigeria wants to do, they always meet 7 players there. Please.
Did you watch this match after the red card?
Oh, I told you.
We had like 5 opportunities.
Exactly. I mean, see, hold on, from the first half to the red card.
To tell you, we were not playing these people.
From the first half to the point at which the red card happened, they were sitting back.
It's not about that. Their sitting back does not affect us.
Their sitting back, they have 3 people on Chukwueze.
It does not affect us. We did not have a shot.
Simon.
It of course affects us.
Yes, they are sitting back.
That means they are actually...
Okay, after they scored and we got the red card, were they not sitting back?
Yeah, they were still sitting back.
So how did you have opportunities?
Because they were still also trying to score because they knew they had a man up.
So they were not sitting back as much as they were sitting back in the first half.
No. Once they got the red card, there were times where they had 4 or 5 players in our own box.
There was a time that they had a
4 versus 3.
Yes,
against us.
3 versus 4, 4 versus 3.
I mean, they had 4 attackers against our 3 defenders.
Yes, it's counter now because we have
That's the point. They were not doing that.
The first half, they had only 3 players.
They weren't doing that in the first and second half. In the first half,
before the red card.
Why we played the way we played in the first half was because they were defending and not because Super Eagles didn't play well.
That could have happened.
It was because we didn't play well.
So, Egypt did not sit back.
No, not as much. There's a difference between we forcing Egypt to sit back
and them coming to sit back in the game.
Regardless of how anybody wants to sit back, Nigeria has the quality to still bamboozle them.
We did not play the ball forward.
It showed.
Every time that we got the ball, we didn't know what to do with it.
Because we're not attacking them, we're controlling the game.
We were attacking them. We saw Moses Simon try to run with the ball. We saw Chukwueze try to
the wings as much as we have.
Yes, we did. That's all we did. That's the only only thing that we did. You need to watch
what
the Tunisian managers.
The position was like 73-something. Nigeria was practically just passing up and down.
We're not passing up and down. We're trying to run with the ball through the wings. It's the same thing that we try to do. And even the Tunisian coach attested to this, that we knew that they were going to do this and we properly stopped it. And they didn't have any other response to that than
so
to keep doing the same
thing.
So what did
you do after we got the red card?
Nothing. That's the problem.
We played through the middle. Didn't you see?
We really
don't. You don't understand that their own game plan changed with the red card. Yes, I mean, they know that they can attack
so
us
now.
So
our game plan didn't change?
Our game plan, no.
It didn't change. There was no plan. That's the point. There was no
our plan change.
It was just
I'll say maybe personnel change, but not
maybe
necessarily
we didn't watch
plan
the same
change.
Match. So in the first half, I saw Nigeria controlling that game. We're more about not making a mistake.
Possession.
We're very cautious.
That's not true, because we're losing, we're losing the ball a lot in the first half.
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as they scored, we started attacking them and we started controlling that game. And we're sitting at the back more. Do you know before the red card, they were more at the back and we were still getting opportunities.
You said something about us not having a shot in the first half. You said it.
That's what I said.
Like,
because
from the
we're not attacking them. From the second half, we started attacking them. From the moment they scored us.
And you don't feel that them packing the bus
has no effect on Super Eagles.
Why wouldn't it have an effect, my guy?
Because, bro, we have the quality to still find a way to score. Regardless of them packing the bus.
The sad thing about all of this
now,
is that,
do you know if we didn't, it has happened.
Yes.
If we didn't get that red card, definitely we would have equalized these guys.
How sure are we about that?
I'm not sure about that.
How sure are we about that?
I believe we would have equalized.
I mean, that was my reason for leaving the match at Arica, because I was thinking about it from 11-11 and they were not doing anything. So what was 10 against 11 going to do? That's why I just, you know, immediately I saw VR, like, first of all, I was in a group chat and then I had like guys saying, oh, he's not red card, he's not red card. And I'm like, it was one line. I'm
so
like,
what do you think about
this? Is a red card.
Red card.
I think it was a red card.
It was justified.
Yes, it was a red card.
What do you think, Ayala?
I thought that was a yellow at best.
That was very harsh. You know, the funny thing was that was the same tackle Doherty did. It was even worse with Malang Sarr because he went for the
ball. And I told you that was also a red card.
And there was no card.
Congratulations to the referee for being blind.
That was not a red card.
The VAR even called
Why was
it
not a red card? Looking at that guy.
The VAR called
for
that
match. He had the ball with him.
What? The VAR called him.
They didn't check anything.
Because they checked. It was a yellow card and then they checked. Do you mean Malang Sarr?
Yes, Malang Sarr. Because, like I said, the referee actually went for the yellow card and he was all fine. I mean, I was happy to look at that. Don't give us any shot. But VAR called him and then he came back and like,
that guy made so many questionable calls.
Yeah,
there
the
was
referee,
a ball
the referee,
Ndidi wanted to pass through and then he touched the referee and the referee continued the game. Ndidi hit his chest. I thought we gave him card, we would have scattered that game. It was just not our day.
To be fair,
the most annoying thing that me I know is that in that first half we could have attacked these guys more.
Yeah, we could have.
Because they were prone to more mistakes. They were scared.
In retrospect,
they had more people with COVID.
That's why I believe gave Nigeria the advantage.
And
that, yes, we're
passing
Nigeria,
in our half.
I mean, they have too many COVID
issues. Our passing up and down most of the time.
Wait, hold on. You guys, I'm just checking this now. And we did not have a shot between the 50th minute and the red card. Not one. And then we had three shots
after
almost immediately after the red card. Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
No, that's not what you were saying.
No.
We're telling you that before the red card, they defended well. And then as soon as we got the red card, they try to be more open and more
expansive. I mean, they know that they cannot
how
impose.
How you say they are more open with the rest?
No, because they don't have to defend as much.
You know what you are not seeing? You are seeing that because we got the red card, they now started attacking. It's the Tunisia that was not attacking even when it was 0-0. It's when they are leading
1-0. Yeah, that's literally what happened.
They are coming to the match as the underdogs.
It was not that. It was Nigeria that started attacking them. It was not them changing their game plan. It was us changing our game plan. See,
hold on. We got a red card in the 66th minute. Okay. And between the 66th minute and the 77th minute, Tunisia had three shots in that game.
Because that was when the game started being expansive now. That was when we left our half. So they will attack us back.
Is that not what we're saying?
Oh my God, you don't
the red card is what changed this game.
The red card is
not even their goal. Not even their goal.
Yes,
exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, and see, hold on. That means before the game changed, we were not even able to attack because they were defending so much.
We were not attacking. What's why we
because
were
because they're defending so much.
No! We didn't fire a shot. You said they are defending so much.
Yes!
If somebody is defending, won't you fire a shot?
How?
Exactly.
Won't you need to be in position to fire a shot before you fire a shot?
Yes. Yes now. I mean, you don't expect Maduka to fire a shot and say,
Watch the Premier League?
Yes.
When Chelsea park bus, do you know how many shots they fired against us?
And your players are blocking them, Avi.
Did they block any shots?
I mean, I saw one of these shots that went over the
ball. That's when we started attacking them.
No, that was not before record. I mean, I told you, Mika.
That was after. We didn't fire any shots the whole first half.
No, my guy, I saw that in this shot, and that was definitely before the record.
We had three shots on goal in the first half. We had
We don't have any shots.
Is it on goal or just shots?
Shot, three shots rather in the first
not
half.
On goal. Yeah, I don't think
that's shot. The first half was very annoying.
Three shots in the first half and four in the second half.
I needed to watch just 30 minutes
three,
of that game.
Three of the four came after the red card. Do you get? So it's obvious that the red card had a
so what you're saying is that they defended well.
Yes.
And Nigeria played well. But
nobody ever said Nigeria played well.
Nigeria also
played well. Are you even listening to what we're saying?
Nigeria did not play well as well.
We're losing the ball a lot and we literally had no control of that game. We had no attacking
idea,
plan.
No idea, yes.
Every time that we got the ball, the first thing we tried to do was to dribble. It's just what happens when you take a team and you say, you know what, you guys do what you can.
Exactly. And Ole strategy. Yes,
we saw that Tunisia were very ready for what we could. Yes. We saw that Tunisia were very ready to tackle the Moses Simons of the game.
The Chukwueze.
They were ready to block out the Chukwueze. Ready to block out the Iheanachos. They didn't give these guys space.
I swear.
And that is what happened. That's what killed us. Until we tried to change things around, it didn't really change. Until the red card, and they tried to attack us, and that opened more space for us.
I mean, they were one go up and then one man up again. So
exactly,
anything
we had more chances, they had more chances as well. I mean, it could have been worse or better for us after
to be fair,
the
yes,
card.
It could have ended 2-0 or even 1-1
or 1-1.
Yeah, so
that's just the kind
game.
Of
game just went wide open with the red card. The red card was the defining moment of the game, but here we are now. I don't know. So how many of us are lamenting? Because I know I'm not one of us. So yes,
you've lamented a lot. But
Me? Oh, for Man U.
No. Who even for?
No, I mean,
Sanchez also is mine.
They're thinking about the game again, all over again.
Enough for lamentations. I mean, it's sad that Nigeria is no more in the tournament, but.
So I saw.
Sadiq.
Sadiq.
Kumar, yeah.
I saw his strength for the first time.
Your best player.
With him. And I saw the problem with Sadiq is
actually,
he doesn't
first,
know how to
for
finish.
For the first time, I wasn't impressed with him.
Oh, I was.
Because he's the one who had our clearest chance in the game.
Yeah,
and
like two clear chances. Didn't. But you know why I respect him? He carved those chances. He has a way to always be at the right place at the right time. He has the intelligence to always know how to move. And then these Tunisia guys were good enough not to foul him, because there were several times where they could have fouled him
they're racking up yellow cards as well.
So
it was
just not our day. That's it. That's the honest truth. It was just not our day, and our guys were not hungry enough from the first minute. First minute of that game, it was very evident that our guys were not giving enough. Those Tunisia guys were ready to die on that field, and we were playing big boy game. It was very, very painful.
We got into that match as the favorite. So you don't really say that. It comes with the professionalism that yes, even if you are rated as favorite, you should actually play. Yes, you have to play.
Yeah, like
play to it. Not expect things to just come to you. But sadly, I mean,
so how far do you see Tunisia going?
Quarterfinals, please. They're not exceptional. If throughout the tournament, they've not been exceptional, so I don't expect them to go.
It's
far.
Nigeria that played rubbish.
Exactly.
This
was Nigeria's match to lose, and they lost it. Not Tunisia actually doing any.
You know, normally,
upsets,
if I'm watching an AFCON competition or anything that has Nigeria in it, the moment Nigeria leaves, I leave the competition too.
Oh, wow.
Nah, not for this one. Because I think this one, a lot of other teams
have. Because
I've
been following it, and it's quite interesting, no doubt.
Fair.
And it's like a movie. If it was a movie, if I was going to write a script, Nigeria would leave against Tunisia.
So quickly, touching the Burkina Faso game. Burkina Faso, Gambia.
Gabon. It was nice to see penalties. I always love seeing penalties.
Funny enough, that was why I thought we equalized, because those guys equalized 94.
Yeah, 94th minute, yeah.
And was
there
any
red card?
Yes, there was a red card. They
for
had
the team
red
that
card.
For the team that equalized.
Yeah.
Red
card.
Yeah.
And they equalized. That was why I thought Nigeria was going to equalize too.
It
was their game to lose, because they lost their penalty. When it was 5-5, when it came to time for them to lose,
sudden death, yeah.
These guys lost their penalty and Gabon flunked it. Then Gabon missed two times before those guys scored the final winner. I think it was 9-8 or 8-7.
Wow, very interesting.
It was very interesting. It was very interesting.
So I don't know. I think it's time for me to actually start watching this tournament with a clear mind, because I don't
really
have any.
Yeah.
Yes,
right now I'm a 100% podcaster. There's no sentiment. I'm a 100% analyst.
Wow, I'm very happy to see this version of my EV.
You know the funny thing? I was scared in the Gabon match more than Nigeria's match for
Can
some reason. Maybe it's because it's penalties. There's something about penalties.
Maybe
my heart
was
beating.
Has some Gabonese roots that we don't know about.
No, I think it's because of Aubameyang. I was rooting for Gabon.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. This has been the AFCON segment of the Ball Gecko podcast, made brighter by MTN.
And on that note, guys, we would like to come to the end of the Ball Gecko podcast today. It's been wonderful. Maivi, Ayola, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it was a nice weekend in European football.
It was nice for Chelsea, but it was not nice for Nigeria. So I was not happy this weekend. And
my
it was
man,
my birthday
my man.
Nigeria sports my birthday for me.
Nigeria Oshi.
Thank God I ate before the match.
My guy, I hope next AFCON, you're not going to be looking at Nigeria again before they go.
I will look. I'm green for life.
No, you. No,
we won't even talk about the World Cup.
Let's hope we beat Ghana.
Yes, I mean, you know, I keep saying that. We saw the draws and we're all happy. Oh, Ghana. I'm all forget to. Anything can happen. Nigeria can shock you when you don't expect. All guys, right. This is goodbye from us and we
have
hope
a wonderful
to,
day.
Exactly.
Catch y'all.
That was Ball Gecko Podcast. For more content, please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Ball Gecko. Also, check out our website at www.ballgecko.com.